Edgar Meyer has been hailed as a virtuoso, a genius, a performer whose versatility and ability on the double bass is unmatched. He has collaborated with some of the world's best musicians, and not only from the classical world. He's performed with Joshua Bell and Yo-Yo Ma, composed a concerto for violinist Hilary Hahn, and has teamed up with Chris Teeley, Bela Fleck, Mark O'Connor, and Zakir Hussain, to name just a few. And in every collaboration, he seems to blur the lines between genres. What results is an original and fresh new musical watercolor, where the ear doesn't know quite what to expect, but is delighted and thrilled by the new sounds. Mr. Meyer grew up in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and on Saturday evening, he returns home to give a special solo recital where he'll perform Bach and several of his own original works, including one work in progress. A few days ago, I spoke with Edgar by phone about his compositions, how he came to choose the bass, or rather, how it came to choose him, perhaps, and about the act of composition itself. When did you begin playing the bass, and how did you come to choose that instrument in particular?
Well, my father played bass, and I was probably trying to imitate him, or in my own way, trying to become a bass player from, you know, before when I could talk. There are very cute pictures of me with a broom and a vine pretending I'm playing the bass. So he finally let me start playing when I was five.
Well, tell me about the bass that you play now.
Its label in it says Gabrielli, 1769. I think majority of makers believe that's what it actually is, but you know, there'd be some who wouldn't. Mm-hmm. But it's I think the unanimous agreement that it's made in Florence around that time. And it's a bass that my father first ran into in 1958. I believe Sam Hollingsworth owned it. And then it changed hands once or twice and ended up with a man named George Hofer, who was a school teacher like my father. And my father really had a jones for this particular instrument. It was his favorite bass that he had ever played. So he kept in touch with George both, you know, because they were friends and also because he was very interested in the bass. And in 1983, George called my father and said he was ready to sell it. He had a Galliano, another very fine Italian instrument that he actually preferred for him. So my father helped me buy it in 1983 when I was 22. Mm-hmm. And I've had it since then, and I'm 52 now.
What about it makes it special to you?
Well, at the end of the day, the bass and I have spent a lot of time together, and we're very bonded. I guess the things that I could see at age 22 that it would do that other instruments wouldn't, it's a little bit more clear in a couple of registers, and it's pretty snappy to play on. It's not sluggish. You don't have to fight it as hard as you might fight some instruments. So compared to the instrument I played before, it has maybe a slightly more refined voice. And it's not really the areas you would think, but like say on the third string, which is kind of middle-ish area of the instrument, middle-ish to low, that area of the instrument is what is kind of unusual, just how quickly it speaks and clearly. Mm-hmm. The other bass I had, you know, you'd play the same notes and you know, this kind of boom will come out. And with this bass, you know, some notes come out. But I think you get used to a particular instrument and you learn all the things that it does and doesn't do. Mm-hmm. And you develop your voice around that. So my intuitive response to your question, you know, what makes it special, was actually just that it's my voice. And it's more of a process of just getting to know it than having it really differentiate itself against any other instrument.
You grew up in Oak Ridge, but you've traveled and performed all over the world. How does it feel coming back here to perform?
Feels good. You know, my mother still lives in Oak Ridge, and so it'd be good to see her. And I have a good number of people that I know that are still there, so it'll be nice to see all of them. Yeah, and I like walking the streets in Oak Ridge, especially West Outer Drive, which is where I would always go jogging or just go walking. So it's actually quite beautiful and not at all like Nashville.
I have to ask, did you grow up listening to WUOT?
Sure.
Yeah?
You bet.
Do you have a standout moment, a memory, during which you decided that you wanted to be a bass player and a composer?
Well, you know, the bass player thing was a done deal. I never decided. It was decided before I knew that you decided things. Mm-hmm. I saw myself as a bass player from age 5 or 6, and probably before that. And, you know, there were decisions to be made about how I would actually make my living, but they didn't have anything to do with whether I would actually be a bass player. Mm-hmm. Composing was a much slower route. I mean, I was always writing pieces. I guess at some point when I was in elementary school, we got a piano in the house. And from that point on, I was always writing pieces. And they eventually, became a little more, over time, a little more complicated. But there was a little bit of a breakthrough moment when I premiered with Daniel Phillips and Carter Bray, 1986, at the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival, premiered a string trio that I wrote. And it seemed to work, you know. People liked it. Daniel Carter seemed to enjoy playing it. I was proud of it, and it became clear that it was viable. Before that, I had imagined that composing would be kind of a neat old age type of activity. And then I just realized at that point that it actually was viable, that I could probably make that happen. And then gradually I realized that it's actually the most interesting part. I'm probably a better player than writer, but the writing is the most interesting of the two.
I've watched you play, and I'm always astounded by how easily you move around the bass. You make it appear as though it's as simple as breathing. There may not be a simple answer, but how did you get to that point?
There's no simple answer. I try to teach people. Everything matters. Little tiny details matter a lot, but so does just kind of flow and an overview. And I would say this, that being such a large instrument, it's very hard to be completely stationary. Like a certain fluidity in the entire body is actually helpful technically. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, you know, some instruments you might try to keep, say, your lower body completely still, or everybody does things differently. But you know, I feel like on the double bass that, for example, if a passage is mainly on one string or in one register or something for a while, I'm probably going to completely adjust my body so that I'm able to maximize my comfort for that passage. And it might mean that I've moved my body in a position where I couldn't even play one of the other strings. So that type of flexibility, I think, as opposed to having an approach where where you could play anything, so I'm kind of the opposite.
When did you begin writing music?
When we got that piano in the house in elementary school, and I don't remember when, let's call it fourth grade, but I just don't remember when. That was one of the most exciting events of my childhood, to have the piano come into the house. It was my grandmother's piano, that my father's mother. And I was just really fascinated at the idea of being able to, play two lines at once or play chords or, I was fascinated that you could do that. And just took to it. And that really has opened up the beginning of wanting to write. It's been an evolution over a lot of time for me. You start writing, and then as a performer also, you find yourself thinking, well, how did Bach write this? How did Beethoven write this piece? And you start kind of tying together the two worlds as best you can. And that just takes time.
What are your influences in your compositions? Any particular composers or styles?
Well, it's a tricky question at one level because I believe, that I could make a list without sweating of 500 musicians who've had, significant influence on me. So to pare it down is probably inevitably to leave something out. My three favorite musicians are certainly Bach and Beethoven and Mozart. I think some people could probably feel that or hear that in the music I write, and some people wouldn't see that. And I think both points of view would be right. I guess the two main influences are 19th century classical music or 18th and 19th century classical music, and then things like bluegrass and jazz or even to a lesser degree Indian music, things that have been in evolution in the 20th century, whereas classical music was not really evolving by the time I was born.
What are you going to be performing on this chamber concert?
I'm going to be playing bass alone, So there'll be no other musicians with me. And I'll start with a Bach suite, and then I will play a piece that was commissioned 2 or 3 years ago. And it's still a little bit of a work in progress. I've not really decided on the inner movements. I've got a couple outer movements that I'm pretty locked down with. And I guess its origins were simply that I realized at some point that a lot of the pieces I would write for myself to play, like either alone or maybe with piano, a lot of them had been a little on the short and on the novelty side. And, you know, and I would sit there and spend, you know, 4 months writing Hilary Hanna Violin Concerto, and I started thinking that I wanted to put some of that type of effort into a piece for bass alone, or maybe a whole recording eventually of bass alone. So I'm just kind of in the middle of that process, trying to find a comfortable place language-wise, you know, where I feel like I'm stretching as hard as I can, but that it's still music that is able to make contact with people. And just trying things out, trying to see what works.
So there was going to be several of your original compositions on this concert.
Yeah, and on the second half, it'd be a range of things that I've played over the last 30 years, but a couple covers, meaning maybe some traditional fiddle music or maybe a jazz song or something, but mainly original music.
And one final question, what, in your opinion, makes music meaningful?
Yeah, music is going to inevitably mean different things to different people. One of many things that I love about music is that it is exactly that, is that, especially instrumental music, you clearly connect with another person at an emotional level or at an intellectual level or whatever level. And people get it. I mean, they feel something. There's some kind of connection, but it can't be pinned down quite the same way that words pin things down. Music is maybe the least easy to explain. Your starting place with images is pretty much the real world, and the same is a little bit true of language. That you got a lot of words pinned down as to what they mean and what they don't, and when you play an A natural, ain't nobody knows what that means. So you're starting maybe with a slightly more abstract building block. So I just enjoy that. That's a thing that I find gives it a great deal of satisfaction. It doesn't really answer what does music mean or why is it meaningful, I guess is what you said. But it's a piece of the puzzle.
Double bass virtuoso and composer Edgar Meyer. I was speaking with him by phone a few days ago in anticipation of his upcoming chamber concert, which will be given this Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. in Oak Ridge at the Oak Ridge High School Performing Arts Center. More information on this event can be found at orcma.org or by phone at 483-5569.